You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Bring it up, Rick. Ridiculous. Wait for it now. As the kids would say, Ken Barkley, stovetop.
Yep.
Is a vibe. Stovetop. It's a vibe, all right. I love that. That and the final hour music get me every single time. Hour two here, BetQL, Costos, Lockerson on a Wednesday. Great hour, hour number one, talking NBA, putting last season to bed. Talking about this upcoming season, Matt Moore was fantastic. I really feel like, and we'll get to, we'll promote the rest of the show in a second here. We could actually do like another 3 hours on next NBA season, like easily without breaking a sweat.
Sure. It might be like, well, I mean, that's like so far away, all this stuff. But it's, first of all, NBA offseason is actually generally more interesting than NBA in season for a lot of people, because it's driven by superstars. So their personalities and their movement is interesting. But also, like, there are betting markets open that get settled soon. Like, the draft is next Thursday. There's going to be 500 prop markets. The free agency stuff gets determined. And like, yeah, it's low limits, but like, you can bet on stuff that's going to be decided in the NBA for next Thursday. And then for like probably the couple weeks after that, once Simmons gets traded somewhere. So this isn't some like pipe dream down the road, 14 month thing. Like, there are markets open for all this stuff right now. Like, this is actually like a very newsworthy conversation in terms of what's going to happen here.
In the Power Hour, coming up final hour of the show, our bets tonight, Major League Baseball. Tyler Morales joins the show for golf bets for the 3M coming up this weekend. And listen, I don't tease stuff unless we really plan on paying it off. I've got an epic card for the 3M this week. And I'm getting a little loose because I won on Morikawa last week. So we're going to get loose with some bets for the 3M this week. So that's the Power Hour. Hour number three, next hour on the show, Jeff Feinberg's going to join us. We'll talk some NFL with Jeff from Mayo Media and FTM. Get his picks for the 3M. Bobby Marks still to come on the show, ESPN front office insider. And Bobby Marks, Eli has told us, because we texted Eli to make sure, Bobby's going to talk some NBA draft props with us. So this was confirmed by Eli. So if it doesn't happen, it's Eli's fault, not ours, that Bobby Marks will be talking NBA draft player prop positions on the show in hour number three. College football mailbag still to come. Brody Miller from The Athletic still to come, talking SEC Media Days from Birmingham, Alabama. But Ken, right now, we continue the series that began. It was on Monday, right? It was a couple days ago. Our NFL Twitter mailbag, where we put a bunch of futures markets out there at You Better You Bet on Twitter, and you, dear listener, and you, dear viewer, respond and let us know some of your favorite futures bets. We've had a lot of good ones this week. We got a lot of good ones still in the hopper, a lot of new answers today. Ken, are you ready to talk some National Football League?
Yeah, I have the rundown up in the background somewhere, but I don't know where I'm going to, I want to be surprised. Like, I feel like we could talk about anything. So wherever you want to go first, let's go there.
We have a lot.
Yeah, we got a lot today
of tweets. Not just tweets, but specific tweets concerning one specific market. That market, offensive rookie of the year. I wanted to say like Publix or something. But that didn't know if that would be funny or not.
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah. Right. Anyway. All right. Lots of bets. I learned this the other day.
Yeah, so Kentucky plays at Kroger Field, and I heard a couple of people jokingly calling it like the big checkout line yesterday, which I thought was really funny.
So bad. See, when I think Kroger, I think of George's boss in Seinfeld.
Yeah, right. Kroger. Kroger, obviously, but Kroger.
Close enough.
What does he say? My son tells me you're incompetent.
We got a lot of problems with you, Kroger. Okay. So the first tweet that we will go with here at Corey Brown 751. What's up, Corey? We appreciate you. Corey. Sup. Sup is usually not reserved for like guys we don't know on Twitter. Yeah. Corey likes Trey Lance as offensive rookie of the year. The odds on Trey Lance, the third overall pick out of the draft. Remember that bet? That was fun. +600.
Yeah, do I?
To be offensive rookie of the year. Per our friends at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, he is the second most popular bet to win offensive rookie of the year right now behind Justin Fields. So Fields the most popular. We're not going to talk about Fields here unless he like comes up, or maybe we'll do him in conjunction with Lance. But the question, Ken, is about Lance specifically. +600 offensive rookie of the year for a quarterback who might not start week one for the Niners when they visit the Lions in Detroit.
Yeah, and you and I have done a little bit of offensive rookie of the year, but it's worth expanding on the conversation that we had a couple weeks ago. Just to basically say, like, offensive rookie of the year in general, when quarterbacks are involved and you're trying to handicap quarterback chances, if it isn't week one, it's got to be really early, right? I mean, Justin Herbert ends up starting week two as a result of a medical mishap and ends up obviously having an incredible season. But I believe every other prior offensive rookie of the year had started week one. I think Cam Newton had won it. I think Matt Ryan had won it. Those were definitely two. And there are a couple more even in the last 15 to 20 years that fit that description. Where it's not like you come in like week four, week five and still be awesome. Like that's basically you're docked for it. Similar to NBA most valuable player. You know, if you play 42 of the 81 games or 42 of the 82 games, like cool, you were probably awesome. But like the voters are just good. They're never going to give you the award for that. This tends to function the same way. So when you see something like Lance, it would be one thing if he was a long shot. Like it'd be one thing if he was like 15, 20, way behind the other quarterbacks with that in mind. And you're like, well, I'll bet it now because maybe surprisingly he ends up starting week one. Like maybe he actually just out of the gate is going to be the week one starter. And I'm holding this big ticket on him to achieve this, to win this award, which maybe the market didn't think was as possible. The problem is he's insanely low priced. He's among the favorites. So it's like, where does the value come from? Like this is pricing him like he's the week one starter, which is impossible. You can't bet the other side. Like you can't really, there's no two way on like, will he not win offensive rookie of the year? I don't even know if there's a market on whether he'll start week one or not. I guess that would be a really weird way to hedge it. But just because the price is already so low, Nick, even though like could be really talented, have no idea. They picked him. I mean, they like him certainly to a certain extent. They picked him third. Could be amazing. Could start very early in the season. To me, the price already is like, he's the starter from the jump, and we know that's not true. So even though he could win, just as like a valuable bet at that price, it strikes me as not a bet that I would want to make.
Yeah, I mean, look, and if Jimmy Garoppolo plays well, like Trey Lance didn't play last year. He's got a minimal number of snaps, obviously, under the belt at North Dakota State. I would never bet Trey Lance. Trey Lance might be awesome. I don't think you can bet him at this number, Ken. I think you did a really great job breaking it down. So that's good stuff there from Ken. I agree 100% as it concerns Trey Lance to be offensive rookie of the year. Sorry, Corey, not a huge fan of that bet. Let's move on and let's stay in San Francisco with another choice for offensive rookie of the year. I actually like this one more. And this comes courtesy of at Kent Steer, who wants to talk about Trey Sermon. I love both San Francisco offensive rookies, potentially both with the first name Trey. We go from Trey Lance to Trey Sermon, the rookie running back out of Ohio State. Trey Sermon +2,500 to be offensive rookie of the year. And like, I love Trey Sermon. I'm taking him in a lot of drafts. The problem is it's the Shanahan system, multiple running backs, lots of running backs can succeed in the system. Mostert's still there. Jeff Wilson's still there. They signed Wayne Gallman. I'm not saying Sermon isn't going to walk on the field day one and be the best or get the most carries or be a stud in fantasy football. I just think like in the Shanahan system, the other backs, they're all going to cannibalize each other. So I think it's hard to kind of hone in on Trey Sermon to say, this guy's going to be offensive rookie of the year, Ken, even though those odds do look pretty palatable at 25 to 1.
Right. I mean, you can tell people are all thinking the same way, right? It's like, well, it's the Kyle Shanahan offense. I feel like they're going to score a lot. They're projected to be very good this year. They have a very high win total. Like, who's going to maybe reap some of those benefits? So in a way, it makes perfect sense. In this case, much like with the previous answer, but flip-flopped, like, I agree with your analysis. It's just a usage question. And if I don't really see insanely high usage, it's going to be really difficult for a guy like that to win the award. Doesn't mean he can't win. Doesn't mean Trey Lance can't win. It's just price versus likelihood, price versus the very obvious check marks that you have to have in order to win. So it's tough to make the bet. Doesn't mean he can't win, but like, again, like listen to what Nick's telling you, like look at how many mouths there are to feed with a coach slash offensive coordinator, basically, who really doesn't mind spreading the ball around. Like that's the entire point. Like a lot of play action, a lot of movement, a lot of getting different people involved in space. Could have a very good season. I would say it's much less likely that he wins than the current price.
You bet BetQL, Costos and Barkley. We do have some, I don't know if I want to call it breaking news out of the world of college football.
Yeah.
It's
very murky too. I would even say like we can do like, we're doing college football, which is helpful. So we can do it as part of that. But it's like, it's very murky, Texas and Oklahoma, and people can look it up and we'll go through it in more detail later. But like anything college football is always like for 25 years down the road. Like it's never imminent, it feels like. And so like, I think we just need more reporting really to have like that type of discussion.
Yeah. So the report is that Texas and Oklahoma are looking potentially into joining the SEC. It would not happen this year, obviously, probably not next year either, but you just want to throw that out there because that is kind of like a lot of people are talking about it right now on social media and then our YouTube chat as well. A team that's in the SEC. How about this for a professional segue? A team in the SEC, Ken Barkley, sent a player to the National Football League with the top five pick, fourth overall to be exact. Wow. That team was Florida. The team that took this player, Atlanta, and the player is Kyle Pitts. Now, I have said many times on the show that I love me some Kyle Pitts. I love Kyle Pitts plus 800 to win Rookie of the Year. I think he's getting 120 targets. I think he can catch 100 passes this year with Julio Jones now in the Music City. Pitts is the seventh most popular bet offensive Rookie of the Year at Bet Rivers, and this tweet came courtesy of at last name Nash. So Pitts plus 800. I've kind of said everything I need to say. So, Ken, you got anything here on Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, we've talked about it a bunch. I think it's like of the players you could bet to win the award, this would be like sort of free roll, right? You have $100, you have to spend it. I think Pitts would get some of the $100. Haven't bet him to win the award yet. I don't think because Lawrence and Fields and Lance and I mean Mac Jones, whatever, when the starting job, like because all those quarterbacks exist and Wilson, which we should actually absolutely mention, because they all exist. Like Pitt's odds aren't going to drop very. Like, I don't think there's a reason to get in now, I guess would be my point. Like, we all think he's going to start. We all think he's going to be awesome. And all the quarterbacks still exist. So, cool. There could be an injury. Also, Pitt's going to get injured. I mean, there's a ton of mystery going forward in the next few months. But, like, is the price going to go to 3-1? Is it going to go to 5-1? Of course not. Because Lawrence and Fields and Lance and all these guys are going to occupy all that space. So, I like him a lot to win. I don't think it's like a bet you have to make right now. But I think of the non-quarterbacks, he's very likely because of the thing that Trey Sermon doesn't have, right? The easiest path imaginable to the highest usage imaginable would be the right way to put it. And obviously the odds are less as a result of that. I agree. I think he could have a huge season. Probably we'll have him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I need to like kind of try to create some loose probabilities for all the quarterbacks and him and see if anything makes sense as a bet. But a clump of probabilities or a clump of data points, which we did in the opening. But yeah, very likely to win. Checks all the boxes kind of as a non-quarterback, at least, that would be likely to win.
All right, you mentioned Zach Wilson, courtesy of at Coin Jetta.
The forgotten quarterback, by the way.
So
like the forgotten quarterback,
right?
Completely. Yeah.
He's the second quarterback selected. The other four, obviously, in the first round. The one that went ahead of him is Trevor Lawrence. Then we have Justin Fields. We've got Trey Lance. We've got Mac Jones, and like no one talks about Zach Wilson, presumably because we think the Jets are going to be the worst team, or maybe are going to be the worst team out of the teams that we just talked about here. Well, Wilson is the sixth most popular offensive rookie of the year bet at Bet Rivers. Zach Wilson, the presumptive starting quarterback week one for Robert Saleh, Mike LaFleur, and the New York Jets at a BYU. Zach Wilson, 10-1, Ken, to win offensive rookie of the year.
Isn't it just like whoever the fifth QB is, let's assume all five get reps early. Isn't the fifth like highest price kind of like, or the highest price of the five kind of like the most intriguing bet, right? Like if they're all going to play, okay, you've got like five quarterbacks that are going to give you 16, 17 starts, excuse me, with the longer season. That's all a lot of opportunity, obviously, to put up statistics and to stay healthy and play. And you don't have to win a lot of games to win this award ever. That definitely does not. Those two things are not correlated whatsoever. You just have to have numbers. you know, what happens if Mac doesn't win, you know, Mac wins the starting job and Lance, whatever, starts week one and all these are on an even playing field and, you know, all those four prices are less and Wilson's 20 because now all these things happen or 15. I feel like that actually could happen because literally no one is talking about this player to win this award. It's like, I mean, you just mentioned he's the sixth most popular bet so far. Even at Bet Rivers, and you know, you don't, even if that data doesn't do anything for you, like how much do you hear any NFL media people talking about Zach Wilson in comparison to the amount of content that is produced?
No one talks about it like ever.
Yeah. And it's very interesting. I think it'll just depend on kind of as we get closer to the season, like how do the prices shake out between these guys? Like, does Mac Jones win the New England starting job? Is Trey Lance going to start week one? I could absolutely see myself with this ticket if it, you know, people lose interest to the extent that it just keeps inflating that price up and all the other quarterbacks come in underneath him because like he's going to play 17 unless he gets hurt. And like Adam Gase's incompetence cannot possibly be understated in this conversation. Like even if they're bad last year or this year, bad is so much better than they were last year. And like, it's just completely different. I actually think that might end up mattering. So yeah, can put up a ton of stats. Definitely would not rule him out whatsoever.
Here's what I would want to say about betting Zach Wilson. If I were to do it, I would, and I'm not saying that you're disagreeing with this, just for me, for Zach Wilson, I need to see some training camp. I need to see some preseason. It's sure. less about him. And it's more about the offense around him.
Right.
Like how are they going to deploy Corey Davis? How are they going to deploy second round slot receiver Elijah Moore? Is Denzel Mims going to see the field? You know, he wasn't drafted by this regime. And like the reports, he's way down on the depth chart. Is Michael Carter going to be the starting running back? How good is the left side of the offensive line going to look with Vera Tucker and Mekhi Becton? So a lot of unanswered questions here as it regards the Jets and their offense that we'll get answers to over the course here of the training camp and the preseason. Coming up next, we continue with the NFL mailbag. One more offensive rookie of the year, and then we get to MVP and comeback player.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Brody Miller from The Athletic joins us in 20 minutes to talk about SEC Media Day. Lots of stories emanating out of the most powerful conference in college football. We're excited to break down many of them, both with Brody in the next segment and to lead off our number three on You Better You Bet, where I've got questions. And Ken Barkley, I think he's going to have some answers.
Sure. Take some guesses at least.
Yeah, we'll have thoughts at the very least. I've got questions. Ken Barkley's got educated guesses. Doesn't have quite the same ring to it. But we'll talk college football, SEC, for the next two segments after this one. Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider for the NBA, going to join us. NBA draft player props, and we'll wrap up the NBA season. Jeff Feinberg, bets for the 3M. Power Hour, final hour, all our bets for tonight, Major League Baseball, and our golf bets for the 3M coming up to close the show. But right now, Ken, we continue our NFL mailbag here on a Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet on BetQL. And we've hit Trey Lance, Trey Sermon, Kyle Pitts, Zach Wilson as offensive rookie of the year picks from our many followers on Twitter, where they've tweeted us at You Better You Bet. We've got one more to get to. And it comes from, maybe he's got narcolepsy. I'm not sure. At Sleepy Vinny. His name's Vinny and he wants to take a nap. I should be Sleepy Nick because I want to take a nap all the time. Sleepy Vinny, Ken, wants to talk about Devontae Smith, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, wide receiver out of Alabama, selected, of course, by the Eagles, who leapfrogged the Giants to take Devontae Smith, plus 1,300, 13-1. How about Devontae Smith, Offensive Rookie of the Year at that price?
Yeah, I know this is the one we're doing last. I'm kind of happy we are because I think it's the one that I'm like the most unsure about. Like what my opinion would be. So I guess the right way to put it is, okay, he's 13-1. Should his price be lower than that? Okay. Well, no. I mean, you have five quarterbacks in the mix who are going to be more likely to win because their usage is going to be way higher. You also have a couple other wide receivers. Like this was supposed to be obviously a star studded wide receiver class. You have Waddle and Chase right around him in the odds market. So that when I look at it, I'm kind of like, all right, he looks like he's placed properly. Like everything looks fine. Could he win? Yes. Would I be like very excited to bet it right now? Probably not. Maybe it's a usage question. Maybe it's just how his skills translate to the league, which we'll never know the answer, obviously, until it happens, until we watch him develop. So I think he's like appropriately placed when you think about the players that he's around, right? It has to be like Najee Harris and the quarterbacks. It has to be them kind of leading the way. And then you have this group of extremely talented receivers with huge upside. and Pitts all clustered together 8 to 15 to 1. Pitts a little ahead because I think the one with the highest likely usage, honestly, in terms of week one. So I think that all kind of makes sense. So my analysis isn't this is a bad bet. It's more just like this seems like the correct price for him. And if you have a lot of good reasons to like Smith, you can play into it. It's just a bet I kind of don't really feel either way about right now.
I want to take it a step further, Ken. And I like that you brought up the two other wide receivers that are like in the same odds range as Devontae Smith. That's Ja'Marr Chase, who's the first wide receiver off the board from LSU, goes to the Cincinnati Bengals at number 5 overall. Ja'Marr Chase at 12 to 1. And then Devontae Smith's Alabama teammate, Jaylen Waddle, who goes 6 overall to the Dolphins. So both of these guys get selected in the actual draft before Devontae Smith does. I think Chase, obviously, out of the wide receivers, deserves to be where he is, right, at 12 to 1, ahead of Devontae at 13 to 1. I think both of these guys, Chase and Waddle, are superior prospects to Devontae Smith. That does not mean that Devontae Smith can't be great. But here's the question I want people to ask themselves. And again, Devontae Smith could win rookie of the year. He could be a monster. He was awesome last year at Alabama. I would have been fine if my favorite team took him, the New York Football Giants. Devontae Smith did that as a senior last year. Jaylen Waddle came out early as a junior. If Jaylen Waddle returned to Alabama this season, don't you think he could win the Heisman Trophy? Like, I think that kind of has to play into the analysis here. And there are people a lot smarter than me that talk about that. Senior receivers coming into the National Football League, not having as high a ceiling as underclassmen that are absolute studs and declare, because they haven't reached their peak yet and NFL coaching can help them get there at the next level here. So I love Waddle. Waddle's actually probably my favorite here at 18 because I'm high on the upside of Tua Tagovailoa. I think Waddle steps in as an absolute explosive dynamite playmaker week one when the Dolphins visit the Patriots in Foxborough. And Chase and Burrow obviously have the mind meld, the rapport. So it's not anti-Devontae Smith as much as it is, Ken. I'd rather play Chase at 12 to 1 or Waddle 18 to 1.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And I think all three receivers like kind of get the same opinion from me basically, which is, I think you can make a really strong case. I mean, you made a strong case for why your order is ABC with the three wide receivers. I think we could have other people on who say, no, it should be CBA or BCA. And just, I think that's a worthy argument to have because all three are so talented and all three can win the award. So, you know, to just transition it from like, you know, a fantasy conversation or just like, I like this guy more, like from a betting standpoint, you say you like Waddle more. But like, are you inclined to bet on any of the three right now? Or is it just if you had to bet on the three, you would bet on Waddle?
I think if I had to bet on one of the three, I would bet on Chase because I feel like his volume is going to be absolutely astronomical this year with the Bengals, who the defense is not good. Burrow's going to be throwing a lot. And look, I love T. Higgins. I love Tyler Boyd. They drafted Ja'Marr Chase for a reason there. Like Chase is going to be the alpha. Chase is going to be the one.
Sure. Makes a ton of sense. Yeah. I think my advice for people in terms of this market is, you know, I think I would rather take like a quarterback that fits with the others, but the price doesn't, like a Wilson, as opposed to like receivers that we all know are awesome that are kind of priced where I would expect receivers to be priced. Like if you had to make a choice in the market. So yeah, I would say like pass on the three receivers. Doesn't mean they can't win, but like the market expects them to be very good. They're three pretty low priced skill position players in a market that has 5 quarterbacks that could start in it. Like there's only so much probability that go around. Think about it. The competition, like we could have legitimately one of the most insane offensive rookie of the year competitions ever. Honestly, just thinking about it, you have like Najee Harris, extreme usage with Pittsburgh, 5 quarterbacks who could potentially start week one, and 3 like huge wide receiver prospects and Kyle Pitts, who's like an all-time tight end prospect, all coming in at the same time and all gonna play right away. So just think about the competition for that award, like trying to play like a small price with a non-quarterback. It's tough right now. It's one of the reasons I haven't bet Pitts yet, even though I like him.
I know there were other tweets that came in for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And like, if you don't hear your tweet brought up here, like myself and Chris Ranji on the show tomorrow, Ken off tomorrow, we will get to it coming up tomorrow. Yep. And there was one in particular that we'll get to on tomorrow's show that featured a wide receiver picked in the second round that I think is a fascinating point of discussion. Okay. So we will get to that. Chris and I will on You Better You Bet coming up tomorrow here on BetQL. But Ken, let's turn our attention now from Offensive Rookie of the Year and let's talk a little Comeback Player of the Year right now. Pretty interesting award each and every year. Alex Smith, of course, wins in a runaway last year because he literally was the knight for Monty Python without appendages and managed to lead his team to a division title. So that was obviously going to happen. So at KingSmaz01, Ken tweeted us earlier today his pick for Comeback Player of the Year, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott at +180.
Whew, yeah, I mean, makes a ton of sense. Comeback Player of the Year, God, almost more than a lot of these awards. And you could say this about almost all media voted awards that they're all narrative driven, that there has to be like this publicity and content that's created around this player that creates a story that's worthy of like kind of giving him the award, even though it's like, you know, one player might be better or one player might make more sense as comeback player of the year from a statistical perspective. Like he was here and now he's here, like super duper 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 narrative driven award comeback player of the year. It's interesting that in the same division, like Saquon is also listed among the favorites. I was looking at this earlier where you have those two NFC East guys. I think Saquon at Bet Rivers is 6-1. I've seen him, I think, a little lower than that in a couple places. The candidates, I mean, I met like, I would never say like, wow, it's a crazy race for comeback player of the year, but the names, and if you're watching on Odyssey app or YouTube.com, you can see them scroll at the bottom of the screen. Insane caliber candidates.
Because a lot of these guys are like star players that got hurt last year. So Nick Bosa is on this list. Von Miller's on the list. Dak's on the list. Saquon's on the list. Christian McCaffrey's on the list. Yes. Julio's on the list. There's a lot of big names on this list.
Beckham. Yeah, right. Absolutely. It's, you know, the first two rounds of a fantasy draft, basically. It's going to be like half the players picked, or, you know, like a third of the players picked are all comeback player of the year guys. I think like the problem would be, so it's like, all right, well, why would you bet Dak over this giant, again, like think about the competition that's going to exist, like Dak over all of these guys. Now the sell for Dak. So like the con basically is the competition's insane. There's all these superstar players who are very likely to have insane
MVP
seasons.
Why not bet Dak MVP if you think he's going to
be that player? That was going to be my point is like, if you love Dak, is this the bet to make? Like plus 175 versus 13 other high usage superstars to win comeback player. Like what happens when one of them gives like a tearful interview to James Brown week 3 in the NFL on CBS? You know what I mean? Like it just, some of it's going to be just the spin of how this ends up going when you have all these
one
guys.
One player
in the mix, that
with a torn
season.
ACL sits down right. with James Brown.
Right. Yeah, like, right. So, coming up one-on-one with Joe Burrow. Right. I mean, just like
he tore his ACL. Yeah, right. Yeah, and now he's right. back to play.
It just, I mean, it's so ridiculous. So it's not that Dak can't win. It's just like betting a guy plus 175 when there's all these things that could potentially like derail it that really don't have to do with Dak playing poorly. Like it could just be, he plays really well. Dallas makes the playoffs and Joe Burrow also emerges as a great, like sort of mid tier to upper tier quarterback, or McCaffrey plays awesome and Carolina plays really well, which we both think kind of is going to happen. All of these things could happen and Dak could play well and you wouldn't win with a bet that's only plus 175. So if you really like Dak, like if you think Dallas is going to be awesome, there's still really good odds on them to win the division. You can bet Dak passing yards stuff. You can get all that. So there's a lot of options here where even if you like Dak, this probably isn't the bet to make. And you can see the narrative coming. Like, I get it. It's Dallas. It's their quarterback who in a nationally televised game had a significant injury. Like, understand all of that. But like, look at the other names too, and you're only getting plus 175. Just doesn't seem like a lot of value where if I like Dak, I'll just go bet some Dak props. I'll go bet Cowboys to win the division. I'll go bet some other stuff where if he plays well, that all those things are going to happen.
I want to spend a couple more minutes on this because I think there are some interesting names here. I do want to just throw this out there. Tim Tebow's 33-1. Just to say it.
Now you've thrown it out there.
And now we will move on. Yeah. There are four names that I think are pretty interesting here. And again, this Ken accurately said, if you're watching youtube.com/Odyssey Sports or on the Odyssey app, you can see at the bottom of the screen, we have a graphics crawl running graphical. It's fantastic. All the odds.
My bad.
For comeback player of the year at Bet Rivers. So four names piqued my interest. One, I would say, honestly, less than the others. Carson Wentz at 9-1. Now, you say, what's he coming back from? Well, from being awful.
Imagine that press conference. You're like, Carson, you were just terrible last year. How did that feel?
Well, now I came back from it. I played for Peterson, who was a schmuck, and affliction? Now I'm back with Frank Reich, and I'm good.
What was your affliction? Terribleness.
What was your affliction? I stink, and Doug Peterson was my coach. So Wentz at 9. Jameis at 20 if he wins that job. And like, what's Jameis coming back from? Didn't play last year. Like a 30 interception season 2 years ago. And Jameis has got the charisma where he's the starting quarterback. If he plays well, he's going to be tugging at people's heartstrings. That's just how this is going to go. So I think Jameis is interesting at 20. I think Odell Beckham is very interesting at 25, where, and this is partly kind of dovetailing in with fantasy, where I kind of feel like Beckham's being looked past in the fantasy community. I think no one's kind of talking about him. Like, this guy's first ballot Hall of Fame talent, right? Now, dealing with a bunch of injuries, run first offense. I'm just saying it's interesting to me, Beckham at 25-1. If he has a big-time season, he's obviously the media loves him, media darling, Odell Beckham. Beckham's interesting at 25-1. And I don't know if this guy is sexy enough, not in terms of the way he looks. I'm sure he's very handsome, but the name, I don't know if he's sexy enough to get there, would be Danielle Hunter at 33-1. Neck injury last year, doesn't play a snap for the Minnesota Vikings. 29 sacks in the two seasons previous to last season. Absolute stud, like pro bowler, first team all pro when he's right. If he has a monster year for a Vikings team that can win the NFC North or make the postseason, I don't know if we want to look past Danielle Hunter at 33-1. So those are four other names, Ken, would be Wentz at 9, Jameis at 20, Beckham 25, Hunter 33.
I still haven't gotten over Wentz in his long comeback from being terrible at football.
From sucking. Like,
just, amazing. Yeah, I mean, the more I kind of think about it, like Dak's a super worthy favorite, by far the most likely, but that's what the market's telling you too. So I think that's tough. I was thinking about Von Miller a little bit, just as like a stat accumulator.
That's a good one too.
Again.
Yeah, 16-1.
Right, obviously like a Super Bowl MVP.
Derwin, 16-1. Right. He's going to be the centerpiece of Brandon Staley's defense with the Chargers.
I would probably rather go with guy returning from injury rather than guy returning from terrible. So like even Jameis, I don't know if it fits necessarily. Hunter's kind of interesting, just again, as like a, like if he leads the league in sacks, you probably still need Dak to not be like amazing to win.
Well, like, who would you rather have? Like Danielle Hunter at 33 or Nick Bosa at 7?
Right. Oh, true. I mean, Hunter for sure. Cause like Nick Bosa gets some media attention, but probably not the kind that he wants. So like, you know, it just, and this is all like media narrative driven stuff. That's kind of how you have to think. So yeah, Dak is a super worthy favorite, but like he's plus 175 to win. If you're betting him right now, cause you love him and you think he's going to win, like, what do you think he should be? Like, what percentage of the time do you think he wins this when like all of these other things are at least possible in terms of like the pie chart of, you know, player of the year outcomes?
Yeah, the San Francisco 49ers aren't the only thing Nick Bosa is trying to make great. Jimmy Garoppolo, 33. I don't know what Jimmy's coming back from, what, sucking and being hurt also. I guess,
right. Right. In his return from everyone thinking he stinks. Right?
It's going to be funny, man, because like if Tebow turns into like the ultimate gadget player and scores like 8 touchdowns this season, it's like what is he coming back from? Being like the worst football player ever. Right. He can win the award.
what affliction did you have? I played minor league baseball for the Mets.
And I'll say this also. I think I'd rather have Burrow than Dak, given the prices. Although Dak's probably more likely to win because the Cowboys are going to be better than the Bengals. But
that's an interesting discussion. Price-wise, that's an interesting discussion. Who would you rather have?
I think the comeback player of the year is pretty fascinating, huh?
Sure. All these NFL markets are awesome. That's one of the reasons I love doing them on the show. They're just really, really interesting, honestly. They're very interesting.
You know what else is awesome, fascinating, and interesting? The SEC.
Oh, yeah.
College football just means more.
Just means more.
And we like more. Yeah. We like media days. We like football. We like betting. Brody Miller from The Athletic covers LSU and the SEC for them, joins us right after this on You Better You Bet. And we're going to talk, SEC, LSU, and college football.
How should you bet tonight's player props? The prop king, Nick Costos, has your answers on You Better You Bet from BetQL.